I need to be in control of my money. And this is the same principle of personal responsibility. Like, yeah, you want this hard form of money. You want to be outside of the system. Well, you're going to need to take a little bit more responsibility and then also educate yourself on how to do so. So it just aligned like really well. And I think, you know, that's now why it's my goal to kind of span the horizons of Bitcoiners and then also folks in the health space. Like, I want to bridge that gap. I want to convince everyone who's into alternative health why they should care about Bitcoin, and that everyone who's into Bitcoin why they should be prioritizing their health, because it's the same perspective. We're all on the same wavelength. We just need to expand our horizons to the other facets of life. And like I said, your health and your money or your wealth, they are the two most important things in life.
Welcome to the Bitcoin Town & Co. podcast, where we interview entry-level to C-level executives about working in the Bitcoin industry. Learn about their interview process, what they do day-to-day at their Bitcoin job, and advice for current job seekers looking to work full-time in Bitcoin. Hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Bitcoin Town & Co. podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwatsky, and today I'm joined by my friend, Tristan Scott, who is the author of Bitcoin and Beef. Thanks for joining me, Tristan.
Hey, Eric. Good to catch up, man. How's it going?
It's going great. Another day in the life working in Bitcoin. Can't complain, to be honest. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's going well. Exciting times, I think, across the board in the Bitcoin space, in the health space, just in general.
Big awakening, I think.
Closing in on 2023 end, and 2024, I think, is going to be even more exhilarating. It just seems to accelerate every year, kind of new crazy things that are happening. And then if you're in the space that we're in, you know, we're just on that path to winning. So
yeah, I guess as it pertains to Bitcoin too, man, looking to 2024, we got the halving coming up, we got the ETFs going live most likely. I just feel like really bullish right now. I just feel like I'm done with the bear market and I'm ready for price to run back up and for the euphoria to come back.
This is like my first bear market where I haven't even really thought of it as like a negative. I haven't had that, you know, downer mindset. Anything, I've just been excited to accumulate, excited to keep like building the circular economy, excited to connect with more people and spread the education. So I'm almost like, I love the bear market because it's like the authenticity shines through, and there's 100%. Not like as many scammers, as many people who are here for the get rich quick scenario. Yep. But I think we've built a good strong foundation in the Bitcoin space now with people who are really here for the right reasons. So it's exciting.
I agree. Yeah. If you're here, you're here for a reason. You're here for the mission. That's what I'm all about. Cool. So obviously the bulk of this podcast will be about Bitcoin, but I want to run it back before you got involved in Bitcoin at all, before you became an author and doing what you're doing now with decentralized health. What did you do professionally beforehand? What did you study in school too?
Yeah, so come from engineering background like yourself. I studied electrical engineering in school, and you know, that's kind of how I got introduced into crypto and Bitcoin, just being in university, you know, at a tech school, 2017, just find out about these things. But it wasn't really until, you know, a self-healing journey and kind of the macro environment of 2019, 2020, that sent me full-fledged down the sovereign rabbit hole, I would say, individual responsibility lifestyle that I try to embody very heavily now. But yeah, kind of had that engineering background, I think is helpful from just looking at things from a systems perspective, from inputs and outputs, and being able to understand kind of the mechanisms of why a lot of the systems we have in society today are so faulty, are so broken. So I appreciate it. I mean, I still love to geek out, especially about like the mining, the grid aspects of Bitcoin, and then how that pertains. So it's fun to chat with folks about these topics and getting that diversified background as well. Different because we're not from like a finance, monetary, economics background.
Sure.
But we all have like our place and our niche to contribute. And I think that's what's also so powerful about like Bitcoin is you get all these people from different backgrounds just sharing different viewpoints and perspectives. It really brings the collective knowledge up a notch as opposed to the siloed, other communities that are out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
if you think about it, Bitcoin's global too. So you're getting all different cultures, all different professions, backgrounds, all different ages. Yeah, it's just a melting pot of different personalities. Especially as it gets bigger now too, it's reaching basically everyone. So back to the engineering, what were you doing? Were you working as an engineer before?
Yeah. Well, no. Not before. So, I mean, I was in university when I first discovered it and kind of bought some. And then, yeah, I was working full time when 2020 COVID happened. And that's kind of when I for sure went full fledged into, I guess you would say, Bitcoin maximalism, or at least that Bitcoin is the only really solution to the broken monetary system. Yeah. And yeah, it was kind of obvious at that point. And yeah, you just go down the creature of Jekyll Island and just start understanding how all these things have kind of come to the forefront now after decades on decades of poor monetary policy. So yeah, but I was working full time, and yeah, I was talking a lot about it with coworkers and things like that. And you're always this crazy person who's, for me, is, you know, across the board into health, into Bitcoin, into all these things that are kind of very out there for the average corporate engineering worker. But it was exciting.
It's funny, you think, I think a lot of engineers get Bitcoin early on, and you would think the other engineers that you're working with be a little more open-minded to it, or just at least curious to see what it is. Did you see any of that, or are they just pretty dismissive?
No, I would say maybe the one young coworker I had was like sort of into it, but still from like an investment perspective. And I found that with a lot of things, like for example, like EMFs in general, like you would think that engineers, especially electrical engineers, would understand it. They might even be experts in this topic, but they can't make that like greater connection that, you know, this might be detrimental to your health, or like for Bitcoin that, you know, this might be the solution. Like they could understand technically how it works. They could maybe understand how it's, you know, fundamentally decent, in terms of, being a load, a dynamic load for the grid and alleviating grid pressure, but they can't make that bigger connection for whatever reason. And I think that's an issue with a lot of people who are not very well rounded, and they've just outsourced a lot of, you know, these other trades, these other kind of knowledge routes, whether it be finance, whether it be health, money, to other professionals that traditionally that would have been okay, but now, you know, they're just getting the wrong advice, they're getting, you know, misled by the centralized system, so they don't have that kind of knowledge unless they're really researching on their own a lot to make these connections. They're just working their ass off for a company, you know, 60 hours a week.
I don't blame them honestly, dude. Like with inflation going the way it is, people have to work harder than ever to keep up with their usual lives. So man, one thing I had to learn about Bitcoin is I had to unlearn a lot of things I was taught in university, even like early on in my professional career too. So I'm learning. And then the other thing I learned through learning about Bitcoin was the idea of outsourcing and how you can't really outsource many things in life. There's so many different aspects of life, such as like even just schooling. And I'm thinking about when I have kids, when I'm older, I can't outsource that because I see the system I was grown up in, and that's going to continually go down the wrong path, I think. So even our food, whatever it may be, and there's a lot of what you talk about too. How are you thinking about outsourcing every aspect of your life nowadays? I know you made a pretty radical change over the last couple of years since finding Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that mindset. Once you have, so I had, you know, one too many concussions, and that's what kind of spurred a lot of this, right? Is because I lost my health for over a year. I couldn't exercise. I went from being a college athlete, engineering student, to not being able to do anything for over a year. And I just lost control of my life. Like, I didn't feel, I was so limited. I wasn't in control. I couldn't do the things I wanted to. And that feeling just resonated so strongly with me that when I finally got myself out of that hole through self-healing, not by any help from the centralized healthcare system, I never wanted to experience that again. So that personal sovereignty of just taking control of my life and bringing it to a point that superseded how I felt beforehand was very empowering. But then it made me think, it's like, I don't want to outsource any of the very important aspects of my life ever again, because the quality of service that we have received or that we do receive now has been so diluted and so watered down, and we've traded that quality for convenience across many aspects. And now it's like, why wouldn't you take that personal responsibility to put yourself in a better position? And yeah, for me, wealth and health, your money and how you feel every day are the two most important aspects of that. Yeah. So I think that foundationally should be something that everybody should want to be knowledgeable about. Like, again, if someone, you know, if I need to do the floors in my house or repair something or, you know, do an oil change, like we're talking about, I'm okay to outsource that. Like, that's not worth the time investment because it's a small piece.
Right.
But say, you know, down the line, if I wanted to build my own house, you know, that's something personally that could be a cool thing to do, because you want to make sure if that's going to be your lifelong home, you have that quality. It's on you, right? Like, you're the one responsible. So if it goes wrong, you can't really be upset. But that's something to me, I was always really well-rounded. I won well-rounded, like most well-rounded in high school. That was like the who's who, because I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed spanning different friend groups. I enjoyed, you know, having, you know, my feet in different pots. So I was like the smart kid who was like athletic and just hung out with a bunch of different people. And that, you know, kept on to college, where I was an engineering student, but also a college athlete. So I got, yeah, a really diverse experience. And to me, that's one of my biggest attributes now, is I just have such a diverse background and people I've associated with and groups that I've kind of transversed, and I enjoy it. I think you need to be kind of like a jack of all trades if you want to be successful in 2023. In the past, maybe that really, really specialist could have excelled, and you still can excel, but I think you're leaving things on the table if you're not having your hand in some of these really important pots.
Yeah.
You know,
that's interesting.
I think you've realized that as well. And yeah. I think more and more people are starting to realize that.
Back to personal responsibility. Do you think Bitcoin kind of implanted that in your head? Or it was kind
of
something else?
It was kind of simultaneous, right? It was like my health journey kind of was the first step of like, hey, this is on me. Like, I'm not going to get better unless I take responsibility. Like, no one's going to help me. No one's here to walk you through this. No one's going to feel bad. No one's going to care if I don't get better, if I do get better. Like, this is all on me. I'm the only one who can heal myself. And then once I did get to a better state, and then I was still into Bitcoin, but then it just clicked for me. It's like, this is the same thing. This is the same perspective. I need to be in control of my money. And this is the same principle of personal responsibility. Like, yeah, you want this hard form of money. You want to be outside of the system. Well, you're going to need to take a little bit more responsibility and then also educate yourself on how to do so. So it just aligned like really well. And I think, you know, that's now why it's my goal to kind of span the horizons of Bitcoiners and then also folks in the health space. Like, I want to bridge that gap. I want to convince everyone who's into alternative health why they should care about Bitcoin, and that everyone who's into Bitcoin why they should be prioritizing their health, because it's the same perspective. We're all on the same wavelength. We just need to expand our horizons to the other facets of life. And like I said, your health and your money or your wealth, they are the two most important things in life. Unfortunately, we need to have both of those.
Yeah, and I think similar to my story, to my personal story, Bitcoin's really opened my eyes to taking that same viewpoint and taking that personal responsibility as well. I wanted to bring up this meetup I went to last year. It was in Salt Lake City, and it was a Bitcoin meetup, but it was actually a crossover between beef. So you had a bunch of farmers come that aren't really into Bitcoin as much. Maybe they're starting to dabble and take it as payment. And then you had a bunch of Bitcoiners in a room too. And you guys held a seminar. You were one of the guys talking on stage about the parallels between the two. So shifting over to becoming an author, why you wrote this book, what led up to you deciding to write about Bitcoin and beef and the parallels? And how are you educating people about it nowadays?
Hey guys, real quick, as a Bitcoin-focused recruiting firm, our goal at Bitcoin Talent Co. is to bring as many professionals into the Bitcoin industry as possible. Since we don't run ads, our one ask is to rate, review, and share this podcast with friends and family so more people can find this show. Thanks, and now back to the interview.
Yeah, so on that self-healing, you know, journey, I just became really passionate about diet, lifestyle, and then learned about the food system. I learned about regenerative agriculture. And yeah, just became really passionate that there's actual solutions out there and they were decentralized. And the issues actually at hand were all lying with the centralization of our healthcare system, our food system, like just across the board. And yeah, I was always interested in writing a book, just writing in general. And I knew there was a lot of books out there about Bitcoin that were really great, a lot of books about the diet, about regenerative agriculture, specifically about health. But there's nothing really connecting the two together. And to me, I saw it as the same issue underlying in society, really. And it does start with the money being broken and misaligning the incentives, and that spilling over to our food system, the way we grow crops, subsidies, just increased profitization across the board, needing to keep up with this insatiable debt bubble that we have and extreme debt to GDP ratio. And yeah, that's why I wrote the book, because I wanted to kind of give people a, you know, 30,000 foot view of both these topics. I had an audience, I had connections in both spaces, and I wanted to bring them together. And yeah, I wrote that in 2021, kind of as things were starting to get important, to get recognized on this level. And here we are, you know, 2 years later, and it's even more so now. And it's awesome to see this progression in the space, to see how many more Bitcoiners are aware of their diet, aware of their food comes from. You know, carnivore, anti-seed oil movement has proliferated, which is great. And then same thing in the health space. I do see a few more Bitcoiners coming out of the health space. But yeah, overall, I just wanted to tie that together because, again, I think the issues were in the same realm, and it's insane to just see the corruption that's ongoing in these centralized systems. And it's all tied back to money. It's all tied back to the incentives. And that's why we have so many issues with our food system. It is one of the reasons, or it is probably the main reason why we're so unhealthy as well. But that spans more than just food. But for simplicity of the book, I did want to just dial it in on beef and then the food system, because actually beef and Bitcoin have a lot of similar criticisms as well, like being bad for the environment, consuming too much energy, or having too many emissions, which just worked out really well from a narrative perspective.
Yeah, man. And yeah, back to going to that meetup and learning about that from you earlier this year really opened my eyes to the decentralized systems that we need to build, the importance of it, and getting away from centralized systems, including just grocery store. Who would have thought the grocery store would be filled with a bunch of toxic and poisons? But until I found Bitcoin and kind of opened my eyes to that, I did not realize that was the case. Yeah, so going back to the book now, a lot of this podcast, I like to talk about a proof of work project, which is essentially just like a Bitcoin side project. Like, look, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're most likely spending most of your days learning about Bitcoin constantly, consuming. We never think about ways of distilling that information, processing it, and like synthesizing it into things that other people can absorb as well, such as your book. So I think writing a book in the Bitcoin space and relating it to something else, an adjacent topic, and like yourself, you did beef. I think that's a really great idea to do a proof of work project for anyone listening. Can you walk me through the process of what it was like writing a book?
Yeah, it was kind of hard at first, just because I knew what I wanted to write about, but I didn't know exactly how to convey the message, because it was two unique topics, and then I wanted to tie them together. So not like a very traditional book format where you just have one topic, you kind of build up more and more detail, and then have a nice message at the end. So I decided to, you know, introduce both topics in kind of different chapters and go back and forth, and then kind of combine them in the second part of the book and relate them to each other. So yeah, it was pretty just empowering. I mean, I learned so much researching this book. I mean, I didn't know everything, obviously, off the bat. And that's the beauty of a book. And I would do it again. And I want to write more books, of course, and I will, of just the education I got from researching in depth these topics. And
I will say real quick, it is honestly one of the most researched books I've read that, of that length. I was thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, well, it's just I love data. I love statistics. And even though, you know, they can be flawed, it really just, it puts power to a perspective, right? Like, I wanted to give people factual firepower. I was tired of hearing like vegan arguments about why beef is bad for the environment. Because to me, I'm a very logical person. That's where I form a lot of my conclusions. Like, does this pass the logic test if I just step back? Oh, you know, we've had ruminants on this planet for thousands of years, but we just started all this industry. So does it even make sense to blame animals that are part of nature? And then, you know, with Bitcoin mining, Bitcoin in general, it's the same thing, right? Like, does this logically make sense to just say it's going to be consuming all of the world's energy in, you know, 10 years. Elizabeth Warren has no idea. Well, she probably does now have an idea what she's talking about, but it's not in her best interest. So yeah. I wanted to just give people factual firepower to defend their perspectives or encourage them and educate them on why they should be on our side, really, and just question the narrative. I don't want anyone to just read my book and be like, oh yeah, that makes total sense, I'm just going to regurgitate all of this. But I want them to think about, hey, looking at these, you know, data points, these facts, these statistics, this does make a lot of sense, and maybe I should be questioning more things than I thought. And that's why this audience of Bitcoiners, of, you know, alternative health folks, they're already ripe for the taking for questioning the mainstream paradigm. And that's what this is all about, right? I want to proliferate that perspective to all aspects of your life. And I don't want you to just be a crazy conspiracy theorist, but I want you to have that mindset is like, okay, this is what we've been taught. This is what the centralized paradigm is telling us. What is their incentive? Who are they funded by? And then what really makes sense logically if I just step back and take that perspective? But yeah, overall, I just, you know, it wasn't that hard to, you know, write the book because I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then, yeah, self-publishing was also a cool kind of empowering way to do it. And it just opened so many doors for me. So I took a non-traditional route of kind of like writing a book and then getting more focused on social media as opposed to the opposite. So it was a bit challenging to promote it. I would say that was the most challenging aspect of it. But now, yeah, I've connected with so many like-minded individuals that it doesn't matter if I never sold a copy of the book for the rest of my life. It's paid itself over thousands of fold just from the connections I've made from it, like yourself, like everyone in the Bitcoin space and in the health space.
I love that. Writing a book about Bitcoin and an adjacent topic, it's permissionless, and now you can do self-publishing as well. So no one's stopping you from doing it. But yeah, going back to the outcomes of it, what opportunities have come your way from doing this type of proof of work project?
Just so many in terms of education and you know, podcasting, just spreading the message, getting connected with other like-minded initiatives like the Beef Initiative, just, you know, local Bitcoin meetups, local regenerative ranchers. Obviously, I'm big on supporting your local community and then, yeah, growing that circular economy, trying to educate them on Bitcoin. And then more specifically, in general, like I found via Twitter from my book, just got connected with a bison ranch here in Wyoming, and now I help them with sales and marketing. And other examples in the health space where I've been collaborating with other health practitioners, trying to get them up to speed on things that I'm knowledgeable about and take knowledge from them. It just, the list goes on and on, but it's really been empowering. And I know you're big on, you know, networking through Twitter for work, and it's really true. And you never know when these connections will kind of proliferate. And, you know, I've had CEOs of company DM me, hey, do you want to, you know, that are Bitcoiners, like, hey, do you want to do like a health consulting session for my company, my small business, you know, we'll pay you in Bitcoin. And I was like, yeah, that'd be amazing. And this is kind of what exactly I'm trying to spread the message. And that's what it's all about, right? And there's more and more people are just recognizing that. And when you put yourself out there, they resonate with that authenticity and they want to, you know, tap into that and help spread that kind of energy around. So that's something that I've seen and probably, again, like the most valuable aspect of all of this.
Yeah, dude, I can't tell you how much putting yourself out there nowadays, especially in the age of social media, can bring about opportunities, whether ones that you foresaw or ones that are just completely unforeseen. So many opportunities come your way when you start writing about Bitcoin, when you start talking about it, hop on podcasts, whatever it may be, to just talk about it and get it into the ethos of everyone's lives. As you're going and you're talking to farmers, ranchers about accepting Bitcoin as payment for their produce and for their meat, what is your pitch kind of to them?
Yeah, and this is a tough one, right? I mean, orange pilling anyone's tough. I mean, I think we all have a pretty low success rate in that regard. But the ranchers is a different angle, and I've had a few recently, especially in central Wyoming, where, yeah, I mean, these people like sometimes don't even have an online banking account. So the technological leap is very, very hard to make. But if you lead with like the decentralized sovereign form of money approach, that's kind of going to get them hooked or at least get them interested. So what I always start with is, you know, I talk about the issues with our current monetary system, you know, inflation, just the expanding of the balance sheet, this interventional policy, it's just degrading society from a purchasing power perspective, related to soil as well, like how we've degraded the soil health, because the soil, you know, it's kind of like your savings bank. And if you have poor conventional practices, that's going to be degrading over time. So you're not going to be getting an appreciating return and you're not going to be able to stay afloat as a rancher. So you can relate kind of the soil to the money as well, as you keep watering it down through interventionalist economic monetary policy. And yeah, that kind of gets them interested. And then you just talk about fixed supply and things like that. And then they're like, oh yeah, and then what about gold? And then you could relate it to digital gold a little bit, and it kind of goes there. And I get a lot of people who are interested, but the biggest gap for sure is still like the technology, and then the willingness of consumers to use it. So
that's really consumers demanding it, that they accept it.
If we're going to make change from the circular economy perspective, it's going to be on the consumer front, right? Because producers, sure, they're willing to take Bitcoin, but who's going to pay them in Bitcoin? That's really what matters. And I've done that as well. So I've sold bison at a farmer's market multiple times this summer, and I had the Bitcoin Preferred sign up there. And yeah, the only person who paid me a Bitcoin, actually, two people did, but one person was my friend who got me the sign, Cody, who organized Salt Lake City meetups, and then the other one was someone who happened to be a local Bitcoiner, and then we got him at a local Bitcoin meetup. And yeah, but everyone else, though, was like, oh, Bitcoin Preferred, that's interesting. And they would ask you know, why is that? Or, oh, you lost all your money, or, oh, you must be rich, or just, you know, the whole slew of questions. But guess what? They're thinking about that now. They went to a farmer's market. Someone has a Bitcoin Preferred sign. It's on their mind. So if there's more and more people doing that, then that's how we increase adoption, because there's more and more people thinking about it. And then you can educate them a little bit. I've sold like 10 of my books at farmers markets this year. So, and just because they were like sitting on the table as like just decoration, really. But people are interested, but it's still really early. And we just need to remember that. But we need to continue this push of building that circular economy through educational nudges. And it's just going to take time, but if nobody's doing it, we're not going to, you know, make progress. So I think that's important to get out there. And hey, if you're a Bitcoiner, go to a farmer's market. Just start asking people, do you accept Bitcoin? They'll say no. But if 10 people ask them, 50 people ask them over a period of a few months, they might start thinking about, oh, maybe I should. And that's kind of how you just plant seeds on a daily basis.
That's really good advice. I honestly do the same thing. I'm doing it like everywhere I go, but someplace, I'd say like 25%, 20% of places.
That's pretty good.
I ask that. Do you accept Bitcoin? I kind of just smile. I usually say, what? No. Yeah, that and Orange pulling your barber too. I think it's a really great way to nudge the normal society about Bitcoin. Going back to your, I guess you have a bison ranch that you've partnered with and you helped them sell meat, correct? Sell or do you guys accept Bitcoin as payment online too?
I'm not running the website, so unfortunately I've been asking for about a year now, and well, the website didn't launch until earlier this year, so and then for the past 6 months I've been pushing them to get it on the website, so it should be any week now, but it's something that will definitely be happening very soon, and maybe even by the time this maybe even by the time this podcast is out, it could be up there. So I will follow up, but it will be happening very soon. I do sell the bison locally or in bulk when I do like manual bulk orders, and I sold some to you for Bitcoin, of course. So if you're interested in bison, feel free to shoot me a message and we can definitely accept Bitcoin for
payment. The reason I asked you is I was wondering what percentage of sales were.
Well, when I sold like bulk quarter halves and wholes, it was like over a third of my sales, maybe even 40-50% were to Bitcoiners. So that was really cool. And then we launched a website, we're doing smaller order sizes and kind of haven't pushed that again. But I'm going to be doing that again very soon, as we're kind of figuring out shipping of bulk is a bit complicated. So we've gotten that sorted out a bit more now. So yeah, if you're interested in bulk bison meat, 100% grass-fed, grass-finished from Wyoming, shoot me a message. We do take Bitcoin for payment, and it's way cheaper to buy in bulk compared to smaller orders. But we do have some good deals in 20-pound boxes on our website now as well. So I will be sure to get Bitcoin as payment on the website in the next couple of weeks. It's driving me crazy that it's not on there yet, but I'll get it done.
Cool. As we let's shift over now to decentralized health. What exactly is decentralized health, and what have you been working on with it?
Yeah, so it's really the same mindset of the advice, the recommendations, the things that people are doing in everyday society in terms of what's good for their health is completely wrong. It's misinformation. It's not working. And as a result of that, you see that we have a society that's increasingly sick. Chronic disease rates are through the roof. You know, 4 in 10 American adults have 2 or more chronic diseases. I mean, the average person's on like a few medications. We're seeing this prevalence in children younger and younger and younger. It's really scary. And it's as a result of everything that's ongoing in our modern world. The food, the pollutants, the environmental toxins, the herbicides, pesticides, the technology, the artificial light, like everything. The lack of connection to the real world, which I like to call it, which is outside nature. And decentralized health is a way to solve these issues, to heal individuals by the root cause approach, not by peddling medications, peddling band-aid solutions, or even in the functional practitioner space. You know, people think that's like this nice alternative health approach, but then they'll just tell you to take 20 supplements, and that's not a solution either. And then you're just wasting all your money on supplements and lab work. And, you know, these things can be very beneficial, but they're a short-term solution or a short-term identification strategy. The root cause is a lifestyle deficiency or a lifestyle just issue, disruption. And if you change that, then you can solve the root cause issue of your health problem, and you can have this lifelong knowledge as well. So it's taking the root cause approach. It's not using band-aid solutions. And then fundamentally, the real cornerstone is personal responsibility and education and proof of work, right? Because the only person who can heal themselves is you. And then the only person who can take yourself to like a more optimal state of health is you. If you hire a coach to just tell you what to do, it's not really a sustainable way. You're not putting any proof of work in or taking that personal responsibility. So you're not going to get better. You're not going to achieve the health outcome that you want to achieve. So It shares all the same principles as Bitcoin, of course. It's just translating that into the health space. But it can be difficult, right? Because there's so much misinformation out there. There's so much debate, controversy going on. So that's why, you know, education is a cornerstone and it's really empowering. So what I'm focusing on is really helping people achieve a more optimal state of health through education, because I've spent the last 5 years, first few years healing myself, and the last 2 to 3 years understanding what really moves the needle. And it took me that many years to understand what actually does. And it's not what you think it would. It's kind of actually the most accessible, 100% free lifestyle interventions are the most effective, but they're the most challenging in a modern world that we live in. So it's this kind of, you know, dichotomy that we have to go through where we're balancing getting more connected, but still having the convenience and the necessity of our modern life. So yeah, the decentralized health platform is something I'm building out, and you know, I'm working with clients currently individually, but I'm building this out into a bigger reach over the next few months. Here is the ultimate goal, because there's so many people that are sick. There's so many people that have low energy, low libido, low fertility, and it's really an epidemic. And I want to help bring along people who are open-minded and willing to take that personal responsibility jump, put in the proof of work, to reach the state of health that will allow them to live their most optimal life. Because at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants to do. And it's awesome to share a ton of things online for free, like I've been doing for the past few years, but it can be very individualistic depending on where you live, what season it is, your genetic background, and then just your day-to-day life. Like, unfortunately, not everybody can work remote and like go for hikes all the time like we do, or you know, that they might be limited in some regard, or they might just be on a different spectrum of their healing journey where it's pretty severe right off the bat. So you obviously have to take a targeted approach, but overall it's the same principles, just applying that to the health space and trying to really give a dialed in approach on what actually matters.
So how are you, besides one-on-one consulting, how are you educating people about decentralized health?
Yeah, so on my Twitter is where I put out the most free information. Then I have my own podcast called Decentralized Radio, where we talk about everything from health optimization to regenerative agriculture to Bitcoin. But health optimization is certainly the most talked about topic, so we bring on expert guests. Then I also do kind of, you know, like I mentioned, business consulting as well. If that's something, you're a business owner and you're looking to have a high ROI investment for your employees, like for me, your health couldn't be anything but that, right? Like just putting that in and educating employees from a business perspective in terms of health. And yeah, going to be offering courses and things for health practitioners and just more and more as I kind of build this out. But right now that's where it stands. And the one-on-one is a blend as well of, you know, individualistic approach, but then also group education. So I educate my clients a lot. That's kind of the goal. Really just empowering through education instead of just being like, here's a workout plan, here's a diet plan. Like that's, to me, that stuff just doesn't work fundamentally.
Yeah. So if there's a Bitcoiner right now listening that's very much into health and very much into Bitcoin as well, wants to get involved with what you're building with decentralized health, how can they get involved with it? And are you looking to be hiring anytime in your future?
Yeah, I would say definitely in the future, I'm going to be looking to hire on, you know, folks to help with sales, as well as potential other, you know, health consultants or health coaches as we build this out. So if you're really passionate about health optimization and decentralization, just shoot me a message. Yeah, I'd love to connect and see where you're at and see how you can be a bigger part of this. And I do want to build it out because I want to reach as many people as possible. So definitely take a team approach. And it's something that, yeah, Bitcoiner first. And yeah, I offer Bitcoin discounts for all my clients for pretty much anything I do. But I also want to keep ingraining that in anything I really pursue in the future. So yeah, don't hesitate to reach out if you think that's something to be interested in. It definitely is accelerating quickly, and yeah, I think in a few months it could be a good fit to bring on some more folks.
Yeah, I get in my DMs all the time people asking, we're like, how can I get involved with the intersection of health and Bitcoin? Right now, honestly, it's just like, official company wise, there's like CrowdHealth, but I don't know anyone else that we're tackling this.
Yeah. So. Yeah, CrowdHealth's doing great stuff, health insurance alternative, but I think more upfront education is gonna be even more key to prevent to be just preventative, right? Like the preventative, non-reactive approach to health is critical.
Yeah. Are you still very strict with your diet? I know we talked maybe 6 months back or so.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what strict means. For me, I'm eating delicious meals like all of the time, pretty much.
Yeah, right. It's all relative.
Because that's what I love food. I love cooking. But it depends where I'm at. It depends what season I'm in. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be local. It's always going to be very high quality, nutrient dense. And I'm almost always going to know who grew the food or who raised the meat. And to me, that's just another level of connection and then another level of quality and transparency, right? Don't trust, verify. That's really important from the food perspective, but it does vary. And that goes into kind of what I preach from the health perspective is the season, the location that you're in. But yeah, across the board, it's very focused on high quality animal protein. So I just bought a half cow from my good friend RC Carter in central Wyoming, who's probably raising one of the most nutrient dense, if not the most nutrient dense beef in the country at this point. And I went out a week after to the ranch and saw the operation more in depth. And yeah, that connection is just so invaluable. And buying meat for bulk is really the way to do it from a food security perspective, from a price perspective, and then a quality perspective. And then obviously I have the delicious bison that I sell as well. So I was out there recently and got up close to some bulls, which was quite the experience also. So if anyone wants to get more connected with their food, I mean, hit me up if you don't know how, and it's one of the best ways to just be more appreciative of what you're putting into your body on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think after COVID or so, I realized when the grocery stores kind of went empty, I realized the importance of food security, and not even that, it's like, where are you sourcing your food? What nutrients do they have in them? Learning from you that most of the beef is imported to the U.S. and we export our beef that we grow here, it's ridiculous to me. And then I've just been feeling so much better since I switched over to locally sourced meat. And just the connection, too, of shaking a farmer's hand, going to the farmer's market, and meeting who's actually growing your meat and selling it directly to you. It's the peer-to-peer Bitcoin way to do it.
That's right.
Yeah. So thank you for all the education you provided me over the years, or I guess over the past year. So since I've known you, it's been great. As we wrap this up here, what's one piece of advice you give to someone looking to start a proof of work project, and maybe it's like a bunch of long form articles or maybe even a book related to Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say the number one recommendation I can have is go for it. Just put yourself out there and go for it. Whatever you think it is that you want to do or you want to try, just do it. I mean, I've tried so many different things the past like 3 years, and it's been a bit overwhelming at times, but if I didn't try all of these things, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. And I'm still experimenting with a lot of things, trying to narrow it down to really focus my energy on what matters now that I've built kind of this stronger foundation. But if you put yourself out there, you're authentic, you're passionate, and you really like put in the work for whatever you're putting out there, you will resonate with people and they will respect you tremendously. So this isn't really a hard community to win over. I think that's the beauty of it. We're all aligned, and if you put that energy into it, you're going to get that energy out of it. And that's all I could say as a recommendation. And that's all I'm continuing to do. And I know you're continuing to do. So it's a powerful feedback loop once you tap into it. And again, you could change the entire trajectory of your life with, you know, a few months of putting yourself out there, putting in a lot of good work into this community, into this space. So wherever you're at in life, it doesn't matter. Take a good hard look at where you want to get to. Outline a vision for success. Doesn't need to be granular, and then just go for it.
Yeah. That's a great piece of advice. Just really just get going. I think so many people get caught up in their mind trying to plan everything perfectly before they start. You really just got to start. That's what it takes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. Tristan, it was great talking with you, catching up with you again. Where can the audience get in contact with you online and learn more about Decentralized Health?
Yeah, I am on Twitter is my main space, or I guess X now. So @Bitcoin_Beef is my Twitter. And I also have the book available on Amazon if you want to read that. So it's called Bitcoin and Beef. I'm also on Noster. If you go there, I have my and Publix linked somewhere, or you could just shoot me a message. And then, yeah, my website for Decentralized Health is currently TristanHealth.com. So kind of my journey, my story, my newsletters on there, and my services. But yeah, if you're really interested in decentralized health or understanding more about what you can do to empower your health or come on board, definitely shoot me a message, because connecting with like-minded individuals who are interested in optimizing their health is what I'm all about. And if you're a Bitcoiner, that's like, you know, the cherry on top, because all I'm trying to do is bridge the gap between these two worlds and strengthen our movement, strengthen our momentum across the board, because ultimately, we're going to be pretty hard to stop. We're already pretty hard to stop, and now everyone's going to be healthy and have sound money. I mean, it's going to be impossible to stop this train.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're listening to this in like end of November 2023 or so, and Tristan does not have the ability to accept Bitcoin yet on his website, make sure you send him.
Oh, yeah. That's my website. If you're interested in the bison, that's fallsfamilyranches.com. And you can use code Tristan10 for a discount. Or just message me if you want bulk bison. I'll make sure to get Bitcoin for payment on there, on my website or my consulting services. I do take Bitcoin for sure. So don't worry about that, Eric. I got that
done. Well, trying to hold you accountable, man. Yeah, so all you beef-loving Bitcoiners out there that are still listening, head over and grab some of Tristan's bison. I've gotten before. It's great. And wish you much success on this journey over the next year or two as you build out decentralized health.
Thanks, Eric. Really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, excited for what you're building here as well. It's going great. So keep up the good work. It's really encouraging to see.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. And I really hope you found value in this podcast. If you are a job seeker looking to work for a Bitcoin company, or you're a part of a Bitcoin company and need help with finding talent for your team, please head over our website at www.bitcointalent.co and get in touch with our team. Thanks. Until next time.